Well, as we said, our second hour is dedicated to you. That's the time when we open up our phone lines toll-free at 800-859-0957. And you get to set the stage and ask the question. So let's dive right into it, guys. Let's say hello to Craig, who is calling us from Shelby, Ohio. Craig, how you doing, and what can we do for you at the Internet Advisor?
Hey, guys, it's so good to hear from you. I've asked some dumb questions in the past, but this one is huge.
Okay, go right ahead.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody.
Hey, thank you. We'll pass it on.
My computer crashed. My Gateway Mini crashed last Sunday.
Okay.
And I've been doing everything and anything to get it back. I've gone into BIOS. I can't even begin to where to start. It had been asking me for some time to do, like, disk updates. And here's what I think I did. I went in to clean up some programs, and I think I deleted a Realtek PXE boot start, if that makes any sense.
Well, Ed, do you recognize what he's talking about in terms of the file that got deleted?
Well, I mean, when you say you removed a bunch of programs, and the only way to really do those, of course, is programs and features, and you uninstall them.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like you also may have gone in there and started deleting individual files or folders. Is that what you may have done as well?
I don't think so.
Okay, so you just used... Okay. So you went into programs and features and started removing things.
Yeah, I mean, stuff like I had Google, like the Maps thing, you know, anything that took up space,
yeah.
It was slowing down pretty bad.
Right.
Oh,
so
I got you. Okay.
I removed anything that, you know, took up space. And when I tried to restart, what I got when I go into the boot options, I've got a network boot. I've got my HDDO and the code for that boot, and then I've got my USB Sony, which there's nothing backed up on it. I just use that to free up space.
Okay.
And
well, you wouldn't boot from that, I wouldn't imagine, unless you had another operating system on it. So
the question is, okay, so are you able to boot up at all to the hard drive at all, and allows it to crash? Are you even getting that far, where there appears to be a Windows operating system? Do you see a Windows splash?
Yeah, here's what's really strange. I was able to get my mouse functions back, both with my touchpad and my my actual uncordable mouse.
Mm-hmm. Yes, wireless
but
mouse.
I don't know how old you guys are, but I go to a setup is starting. And if you ever seen that movie of The Day the Earth Stood Still, where the robot came out and it slit in his helmet and that light goes back and forth.
Oh, then it freezes?
That's what I get.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you're getting that. So the operating system is attempting to start. Have you tried starting it in safe mode by tapping the F8 key?
F4 and F8. Okay. I've done all of them. I went through.
And does it go into safe
all
mode?
All of the modes.
And does it go into safe mode?
No, it just goes back to that setup is starting, and you get that little, light thing going back and forth on that slip.
Do you have another computer?
No.
Okay.
Not of my own, but here's what I was thinking.
Here's the other thing that I was thinking about, too, and you want to be careful when you do this, but is it possible to boot it up, I believe on a Gateway, F12 will put you in recovery mode. And it may be a way for you to recover the operating system without deleting your data.
Well, that's gone. I know it's out the window, across the rooftops, went away. I mean, it couldn't have come at a worse time because I'm looking for a job. My resume and everything's on there right now.
Okay. So
your only other choice might be is that if you have a buddy that has a functioning computer right now, and if you're mechanically inclined, you could take the hard drive out of that machine and put it into your buddy's machine or an enclosure, copy your data off of it so you can get your job done, whatever you have to do, and then get a machine to working for that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, but he said he had a mini, so the hard drive may not be easily accessible to remove.
Okay.
Is it great?
That's another strange thing, too, because I can hear the hard drive spool up.
Okay.
Like when it goes in at set up a starting mode. I can hear it spool.
Well, Craig, what they're suggesting to you is that if you can hear, if you can get at the hard drive, would be to take it and put it into a drive
tray. You have to remove it out of the existing
laptop. Remove it out of the existing laptop, the mini, and then put it into a little drive tray.
Which costs $20 at the most.
Yeah. And it plugged it into a friend's computer or into another computer, and then, as Cal was saying, then search that drive for the documents that you need.
Find his user directory and just pull his entire directory out of here.
Right, exactly.
Well, I would just be happy to have my basic Windows 7 back. But here's a theory, and I need your opinion on this. I do have set up for Windows 7, and I had the Windows Starter on this. I never got around to do it. Never got around to backing up. You know, same old excuses. Mm-hmm. But what if I was to get an external hard drive? Put my Windows Starter into it. Put it in the USB. You think I can get anything back?
Oh, and boot off of that.
I don't think Windows will allow you to install the Windows on an external USB device. It may, but as Cal and I were saying, if your resume and everything is on this other laptop or is on your laptop, then if it was me, I would find a way of removing that hard drive out and. And like Cal said, get an external drive tray for $20, and so you could at least back up your data and get your copy.
Where would I get that?
You can get them at Micro Center, Best Buy. Matter of fact,
He's calling from Ohio. So what you might do is, I think at almost any store that has a good array of computer equipment, it might be an office supply store.
Independent computer store would definitely
exactly.
have
it. Right.
And, you know, they make these little cheap, trays, aluminum trays that you plug the hard drive into and slide it into the tray. Matter of fact, have you already have like a laptop? I'm sorry, not a laptop. Do you already have an external hard drive?
No, I never plugged one into this.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you had an external. Okay.
So
that's
then
what I was thinking about. I was thinking about getting one, plug it in USB, and putting the Windows. Seven update.
Well, what the guys are saying is, Greg, that probably won't work. So here's what we're going to offer you, there are probably other things that can be done, but we're going to suggest this, is that you see if you can remove the hard drive from that the Gateway Mini, and then find a way of plugging it into another computer and then just pulling that data off there that's important to you, Ed.
You know, another thing I just thought of, and if you can go to someone's house, maybe even the library will do it, but I doubt it because they don't let you download programs and execute them. But the Harum's Boot CD, it has the ability to create a bootable flash drive. So you can create a boot. You could go buy a 32 gigabyte or a USB flash drive. Go to a friend's house. Go to internetadvisor.net in our toolkit. And there's a way, it says bootable disk drive media. And there's a Harum Boot CD that you could download.
H-I-R-E-N, Harum's bootable.
And what you do with this, once you've created this bootable USB drive, you could stick it into your gateway, your mini gateway that's crashed, and you're booting up off of the flash drive.
Right.
It'll give you a graphical interface. It's Linux, okay?
Right.
But it simulates Windows, and then you'll be able to then copy your data to that same USB drive. That's why I'm suggesting you get a 32 gig. And you can copy your critical data onto that flash drive, shut down the computer, and then you have your data on this USB flash drive.
And one of the things is, when you have your data, then you're free to do pretty much anything you want.
Right.
You can get another hard drive and put it into the machine,
right,
and then find a way of putting Windows 7 back on there. There's all sorts of other options.
As a matter of fact, if you know anyone with Windows 8, you can do something similar as well. If you know, Windows 8 allows you to create a Windows 8, and which is compatible with a Windows 7 emergency recovery CD.
Mm.
And Windows 8 allows you to create one directly to a flash drive. So if you have a family or a friend that has Windows 8, you could tell it to, I'd like to make an emergency recovery or a rescue flash drive. And it'll say, do you wish to make it on your CD-ROM drive, or would you like to make it on a flash drive? And you can put it on a flash drive. And then you have the ability to come up in a similar graphical environment on your laptop. You can boot off that flash drive.
Okay. So there's a couple of suggestions for you there. Hope that one of them suits you. And by the way, if you didn't get all of these details, if you wait for our podcast to come out on Sunday night, you can check this particular section and listen a little bit more closer to it. Again, in the toolkit that Ed's put together at internetadvisor.net, there's a lot of great resources. Back in just a minute, talk with Jim from Westland and to you at 800-859-0957. Back for some more questions and some more answers. All right, smarty pants, let's get helping some folks out there. The number again, 800-859-0957. Jim from Westland, thank you for waiting patiently. How can we help you here at the Internet Advisor?
Okay, I'm interested, and my computer crashed with XP. I don't have any vital data. I got to get off of it because I got another computer.
Okay.
But Windows 7, a lot of my friends like better than 8.
Yeah.
And
okay.
How long is Windows 7 going to be there? Is it going to be there another 5 years, or is there a red flag with Vista telling us that Microsoft's going to get Windows 7 next? What would you estimate is the time left for Windows 7?
Well, you don't have to estimate. I think Microsoft has said, I had to look at this.
No, it's 10 years, right? We had the Microsoft dude on there last week, and we were asking that same question.
And then we got another 5 or 6 years left of Windows 7.
No, 10 years from now, right?
I think it's, yeah.
Or no, I think he said 10 years for the life cycle of
total.
The product.
Oh, okay.
So if Windows 7 came out in 2000, what year did that come out in? 2009?
Oh, boy, I don't know.
So it's probably already 5 years old. You get another 5 years out of it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, roughly another 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry right now, but the other thing is that you're going to have things something called Windows 9, which is the next version of Windows is coming out. I think it's going to be in 2015, and that may be easier to move to than just hanging on to Windows 7. So a lot of other things could be happening in the meantime, but I think you're going to be safe for quite a while.
I think it's a real good bet that you'll be replacing your computer before Windows 7 is end of life.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. Tell that to all those Windows 98 users.
They're still out there with it.
Now, Windows 8.1, though, to 9, you can probably get an update for that, or are you going to have to pay, or you don't know?
Which was that again, please?
8.1, if you have it on a computer.
Yes.
And 9 comes out, you're going to have to pay for that update, or you do not know?
I'm thinking if Microsoft comes up with another major operating system, like Windows...
Well, 9 is 1 through
9,
month, right?
Then it's... Yeah, that's going to be an upgrade. That'll
So Windows 7 will end extended support January 14th, right. 2020.
That's actually pretty good. That's 6 more years.
Yep.
You know, if I was to put a crystal ball on anything, and I don't know anything, Microsoft, when they go to Windows 9, if it goes the way the industry is going, I think they're going to try and do like Apple and make it a minor cost update. This
yes.
is my own speculation.
I agree.
Like maybe $50.
Yep.
For an individual to upgrade.
Well, if they do, it'd be a first, but they need to do something like that.
I think they're going to have to, because they're getting, it's nuts to have to pay over $100 to get Windows 7 right now. That's absolutely nuts.
So why do they have to?
No, they don't have. Well, the competitors.
Because we all pay it.
Well, right. But the competitor, what was the jump from Windows 7 to 8?
That was $120
yeah, it was
for a minimum.
So we all pay it.
I don't know.
But well, what about playing with Apple? They're giving you Maverick. If your computer can run it, absolutely free. So
Apple's
in some cases cost a lot more.
Yeah, you pay for the hardware.
They do have a lot more advantages.
Well, it all depends on, one, what do you need to do?
Right.
Will that computer operating system, whether it's Windows, whether it's Apple, will it do the job you need to have done? What is it that you really want?
Right.
And you make those decisions. You pay for whatever you decide you want to do with, and you live with it and enjoy it for what it is. Not one is any better than the other.
Right.
It's just what works best for you.
And, Jim, I have to say, I made the switch 4 years ago from Windows to Apple, and I'm on a Mac. And actually, I work in both worlds. I work in Windows 8 as well. And it took me a good 2 or 3 years, and there's still some things that I don't do as easily on my Mac as I do in Windows.
No, we really only heard you complaining for the first 9 months. After that,
had an easier computer than my Mac, I'll tell you that, computers I've owned.
Good for you. I still had a learning curve, but you're right. And a lot of the things about Mac, and Cal, correct me if I'm wrong, is they don't allow you to get behind the scenes as much as Microsoft used to.
Well,
they
can, but you just have to be a little more astute.
That's exactly
to be able
it.
To do.
Cal can, I can't and shouldn't. Ed will vouch for that.
It's like Linux in the... Well, it is Linux in the background.
Well, because you have to remember, the origin of the Mac and the whole concept behind Steve Jobs was give the people computing power without having them have to learn how the computer works.
Yep.
They want to sit down, use the application, get the job done, and move on.
Yep.
Windows was a different environment entirely. You had a bunch of tech people that came along with that. These were people who liked to get under the hood, that liked the... monkey around with stuff, and also use it as a computer as well. So it all depends on what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you pick a, you find out whether it's going to take care of tasks that you want to take care of, pick it, and then just go ahead and enjoy for what it is, right, because exactly. That's how it should work.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Jim, for your question. By the way, folks, there is a page, I think Gary and I are both on the same one, from Microsoft Windows, and it shows you the end of life of these different things. XP ended exactly on April the 8th, 2014. Vista will end in 2017. Windows 7 ends, the support, by the way, for this, the extended support ends in 2020. And for Windows 8, that's running right now, the end of life of that is 2023.
You guys are always on the same page. That's great.
All right. Hey, by the way,
use the same scroll.
All right, let's go to Thomas from Farmington. Thomas, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Hi. Is this the Internet Advisor?
You betcha.
I'm Thomas.
Hello, Thomas. What can we do for you?
Today on Big Face the Nation.
All right, Thomas.
Stickers.
Do you have a question for us, Thomas, or just a performance?
It's totally sweet.
I think we may be missing the boat here, so we're going to let Thomas...
You're so funny.
Thank you. We're going to let Thomas entertain himself there for a while. All right.
And perhaps Thomas is the tanked engine.
There you go. Betty from Plymouth. Betty, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
How can we help you?
Well, unfortunately, I've got an old Dell that has I maxed out. It's 2 gigs. And I loved XP, and mm-hmm. I'm still stuck with XP. So I can't go any further up the scale.
Okay.
You know that they ended in April.
Yes.
Support for XP.
We were just talking about that, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now I'm getting pup viruses constantly, and I'm always the only software that can take it off is Malwarebytes.
By the way, excuse me. This just step backwards. Pup, are they potentially? Help me, guys.
Unwanted programs.
There you go. Potentially unwanted programs. They're not necessarily deliberately malicious, but they're potentially unwanted programs, right? Okay.
Right.
Good. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now you're going on from there.
Yeah, and I'm always going to say, and Malwarebytes is the only one that isolates them and quarantines them.
Okay.
I've been getting them since April. And the other thing that I've noticed is when I try to open up Internet Explorer, mm-hmm. if I change my default home to a different home site and reboot my computer, it automatically goes to Google. Whether I like it or not, it goes to the Google search engine, and I don't want it.
Yeah. Well, you know that. Well, there might be that you still have an antivirus program on there. I believe McAfee has a Site Advisor that. And several other antivirus programs. So, because Malwarebytes is an anti-malware program. It's a scanner, one-time use, unless you've paid the $25 to get the license for it to provide real-time protection. Antivirus programs, a lot of them monitor changes made to your homepage, and then they will then notify you, homepage has been changed. Are you sure you wish to change this? But when they expire, when your antivirus software has expired, it will no longer notify you, and it'll just revert it back. So it's possible that your antivirus software is changing your homepage back to the way it was.
But Betty, basically, you're still using XP?
Yeah.
Yeah. And folks, as you hear Betty talk, this is kind of what's happening now for people who are using XP, is that you are now going to be vulnerable to some stuff, some happening. Go ahead, Kel.
Hey, Betty.
Yeah.
Lean a little closer to the radio. I want to talk to you.
Oh, okay.
Here's the deal. How long have you had that XP machine?
Well, I've had this computer. Well, it came preloaded with XP. Must be 8 years now.
I think it's time.
Look, I love my Dell.
Okay, it's all right to love your Dell. No, they still make Dells. Yes. And you can get a new Dell with the new operating system and leave some of this problematic stuff behind. Because, as Gary would say, you're not going to be taken care of because they're no longer going to do patches or anything like that. And so this festering sore is only going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah. And the new ones are a lot faster, and you'll pay less than you paid for this one.
Yeah, you know, you kind of have to look at it like, look around your house and go like, yeah, you got new shoes over time, you bought new furniture over time. It's time for a new computer. You'll look fabulous.
Or a new used computer.
I just bought a new used truck for
really cheap, and I love it.
But you could go to you know, micro center and get it refurbished, and they will guarantee it. Mm-hmm. And that might be a good way to go, too.
And it comes with Windows, so you can get it with Windows 7, so you don't have to make right. that huge, I hate to say this, the huge change in the environment that Windows 8 requires.
It's just a learning curve, right,
mm-hmm.
to go to 8.
And Betty,
7
will
look and feel very similar to XP.
And Betty, realize that you can operate XP. Give yourself a lot more credit than you are. You can handle a new operating system.
Oh, yeah.
It just takes a little bit of time to say, okay, this is different how I do this. This is different how I do this. But I can still get the same result.
And
you'll be happier with it.
And a lot of mom and pop shops do the same thing that Shane does, who's also a guest on our show or one of our co-hosts.
Yep.
And they purchase 2-year-old computers, 1.5-year-old lease computers. They reload an operating system, and when you purchase it for a small fee, they'll move all your data and favorites and photos and videos to your new computer.
So, Betty, what we're saying is there are some big places like the Best Buys or Micro Centers, but there's also some of the local computer shops that often have some very good deals on some of those older computers, and look for them as well, okay? Thanks for being with us, hon. You take care and have a very good day. Back in just a second. Before we go any further and wrap things up here, I do want to make some acknowledgement of the folks behind the glass, as we say, who are running things, making us sound good all the time. Rich Lozinski, thank you so much, our engineer. Annie Nichols, who is our lady of the telephones, and KT, Ken Tucker's in there. Shannon Manning was back there for a while, too. And thank you to her as well, to all the folks who are making us sound good. By the way, still have room for one more call from you. 800-859-0957. If you're desperate to get an answer, good time to call. 800-859-0957. And we have Dave with us from Flushing. Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Yes, sir. Is this Foster?
This certainly is. What can we do for you?
I got a quick question for you.
Yeah.
Are you connected to Foster Brooks in Las Vegas?
Well, we're both recovering alcoholics. He made a lot of money out of being a recovering, acting drunk.
Foster Brooks. Listen, I'll kind of be brief.
Yeah, yeah.
If I can explain my problem. I was having some trouble with my laptop.
Okay.
And I happened to be on it one day, and a help sign clicked on, and I clicked on it. And I got involved with an outfit. I think that their company name is a small I.
Mm-hmm.
It's ITOK.
Okay.
I capital T-O-K.
Okay.
And I think they're located in Utah.
Okay.
Now, they helped me out, and I
And then
paid
this kind of just popped up on your machine and said, what did it say to you at that time when it popped up?
I don't remember.
Oh, but anyway, you had a problem
I had
time?
A problem.
Oh,
they
okay.
hopped on the machine, actually took it over.
Okay, so they remotely went into your machine and did some repairs on it.
And did some repairs, I guess.
Okay.
There was a bill. Uh-oh. I paid the bill, and now I'm getting a $19.95 per month charge, which I don't remember agreeing to.
Well, I want to stop you for just a second, Dave, because this is, I think, a kind of a cautionary tale to a lot of people out there.
Okay.
First of all, you said, I think they helped me. In other words, did the problem go away that they said they were curing, or you don't know?
No, I believe it did go away. I don't have my laptop with me right
now.
Oh,
okay, okay.
But out of this, I have 2 email addresses
mm-hmm.
of 2 fellows that helped me. One was in Utah and one was in San Francisco, I think.
Okay.
I wrote down their email addresses.
Right.
And I wrote down their phone numbers.
Okay.
I haven't contacted either one, mm-hmm. and I probably don't expect much help anyways.
Okay.
But am I obligated for a monthly charge?
I would say no. I mean, the first place people I would do is call my credit card company and block them.
Okay.
And that's the first thing I would do. And, Cal, you had some words of wisdom on this, too, because we've had a number of people call in on when this happens. And, you know, I sort of like your take on it.
Well, the first thing I would do is I would get in contact with my credit card company and contest the charges to start with.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, how long has this been going on a monthly basis?
It's about 2 months now.
Okay, well, that's good. It hasn't been long. So immediately I would stop that charge from going through. Second, I would get in contact with them and say, hey, I did not subscribe for a monthly service with your organization. I would like you very much to cancel it. And also, in addition to that, please refund back to me that second month charges because I did not, you know, ask for that support.
First.
I would give them at least that first month's worth as a lesson learned that,
okay.
you know, you know, you didn't want to get involved in that type of thing.
My first approach would be through my credit card company.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because that would stop the charges from automatically
being hit on
you. Is that
how you paid for it?
I did, yes.
Yeah, so but they're usually their first charge is like either $100 or $189 when they provide you that real support. Is that approximately what they charged you?
Approximately $100 on the first.
Yep.
Right. And I felt that I owed that because we were on the phone or on the internet back and forth for hours. Saturday afternoon, I think.
I would give them that. I would give them that if you felt like you got the support from it. That $100 is earned by them. But any of the subsequent charges that you would charge, I would ask them to recredit them back to your credit card. But more importantly, I get my credit card company not to accept their charges anymore.
Yeah. And you have the right to do that. By the way, Dave, you may very well, however, have agreed to something without knowing that you were agreeing.
Right.
It may have been in the fine print.
Yeah, because when you installed their software from their website, there may have been something in the license agreement that says, by clicking here and acknowledging that the person that you're remotely supporting, you're agreeing not only to the support, but a monthly charge.
Yeah.
You know, I'm paraphrasing what those legal people, you know, spell out that we never read.
So I probably answered yes, and that did it.
Yeah, and you can very well, I think, go to your credit company and saying, I did not knowingly agree to a monthly charge.
Okay.
And your credit card company, I think, they recognize this kind of deal.
Yes.
And will shut them down.
Matter of fact, I downloaded some software, and I have to find, and it's on our website, I downloaded CCleaner, Foster. I might have to tell you this. And when I downloaded CCleaner, the CCleaner installed, but then it also installed something very similar to iTook, and it was that little
sounds familiar, that CCleaner. I think that's what I'm
CCleaner may
CCleaner, and then and then what happened is then it had this little guy with on the top, any window that was open, you had the guy, picture of a head with a headphone on, willing to offer me immediately support if I was to click on it.
Yeah.
So I had to identify that software and remove it. So I went into Programs and Features in Windows 7 or Vista and uninstalled it. And then I downloaded Malware Bytes from the InternetAdvisor.net website. And then I also, that came down cleanly, and I scanned my computer and it found all sorts of potentially unwanted programs, PUPs.
Yeah.
But it did not identify iTook because it is a legitimate company.
Mm-hmm. CCleaner sounds like what I was involved in.
The other thing, too, Eddie is saying something important here.
But CCleaner is a legitimate program, but it happens to have some baggage now.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, and one of the baggage is they've bundled it with one of these online services that provides you remote support. And to me, it's all a little bit of shady stuff going on.
And we're finding there's more and more with things that we recommend to people that suddenly, well, I got this happened to me. It was because it's now become bundled together with something else. So one of the morals of this, by the way, Dave, for you and for everybody else, this is including me and Ed as well and Cal, when you are downloading something, watch those screens very carefully because some of them will have things checked off in them. Like you agree to install X along with this.
Okay.
And I don't want that at all. Like it could be an antivirus program.
Did I understand you're getting calls from others with the same problem?
Yes, we've had other people who have said that in terms of email as well. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
If you go to the Better Business Bureau, BBB.org, and for the state of Utah, you can find information on italk.net.
Oh, really?
Contact them directly. There's a phone number out there. And perhaps maybe you can get in direct contact with them.
I've got, like I said, the two fellows' names and their phone number.
Yeah, but they may not call you back. I mean, you and I are of a generation where
your number by now.
No, you and I are of a generation where we would try to talk to them as individuals.
Right.
They're not individuals. They're someone at a help desk. They deal with hundreds of people a day, and they blow off 100 people a day that try to contact them back again.
Right.
They may or may not have any decency to reply to your emails.
Okay, that's about all the time we have right now, but I hope
you.
That some of that there has helped you and a lot of other people who find themselves in that same kind of situation. Hey, Mike out there in Royal Oak, hang on. We'll try to get to you after we get off the line here. Thank you very much, folks, for being with us. And don't forget that starting on Sunday night, we will be posting on our homepage, InternetAdvisor.net, both the podcast and some of the individual elements of the program that we have heard as well. So you can download, for instance, the second hour that had some of the problems we are tackling or some of the things from our first hour when Rick Broider was talking about some of the things on our homepage. Don't forget to check out some of those things on the homepage that Rick talked about. And join us again this coming week when we're going to have more things to give away and make your Saturday a good one by answering some of your questions as well. Thanks so much for joining us here, and thanks for all the folks behind the glass who have helped us as well. Cal, Gary, Ed, it's been a great day here on the Internet Advisor. Take care, folks. See you next Saturday.